you're all here. Well, this morning I have a couple announcements. The first one is family style service on 8:30, so the end of the month, and that's when all the kids are in here. No children's ministry that Sunday. And then I want to announce the gospel communications class on the 27th of August, taught by Chuck Dudry. So if you want to learn about the gospel, that's the time to do that. We're going to have a baptism right now, and if Kayla can come on up. There she comes. Huh? She's got to protect her hair. Okay. I like it. Don't you love baptisms? I do. Baptize you, you need to know your name means crown of laurels. That's a crown of flowers, or who is like God. It also carries with it the idea of purity and beauty in various cultures. It also means slim and fair, and it means fortress. So that's what we're going to believe is going to happen to you today as you commit your life to the Lord publicly before everybody else. Obviously, you got a lot of family and friends here. So, Kayla, upon confession of your faith that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So exciting. Stretch your hand towards her as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Kayla. We pray that she'll become everything she's desired to be in you. We ask God today you will make her a fortress. Make her, Lord, a crown of beauty among the flowers. May her beauty of you radiate to everyone she's around. May her family, friends, and co-workers, everyone she's around, her kids, all come to know you because of her love for you. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. All right. Okay. Pretty exciting. I think you got my announcements. Is that one okay? Well, I just want to say, as we're getting ready for the Word, how much we love this church. We have had the privilege of being around in a lot of churches over the last year and a half, and I want you to know you're the best, all right? We're so glad to be with you. Now, in a moment, we're going to be reading from 1 Samuel 17, 2 Samuel 21, a few verses maybe from Ruth and Micah. But I'm bringing back the old, let's lift up our Bibles here, and let's make our prayer declaration together. Lift them high, say this with me. This is my Bible, God's holy word. This book is alive and is powerful. I read other books, but this is the only book that reads me. There are many opinions, but this is the only opinion that counts. Today, I declare, by faith, I can do all it says I can do. I can be all it says I can be. And I can have all it says I can have. Today, I ask the Lord Jesus, the living word, to take his written word and personalize it for my life so I can leave here changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a guy that roots for the underdog. I love it when the little guy does the unexpected and comes from behind and beats the odds. I love the way the Seattle Seahawks, they were underrated all last year and came from behind and won the Super Bowl. Come on. Now, that's why I also love the story of David and Goliath. A teenage shepherd boy is tending his sheep faithfully day after day when his father asks him to deliver some lunch to his brothers who are in Israel's army. He's delivering his food package, sees his brothers on the front line, leaves the food with the supplies guard, and then goes to talk with his brothers. When all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes this giant from the Philistines, and he makes this challenge in 1 Samuel 17, verses 8 through 11. He said, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said this, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, this is the first time Israel has faced a giant as an army and a nation. It tells us, actually, first time in 350 years. They faced a giant in Numbers 21, or some giants in Numbers 21, and in Joshua 14, but it's been 350 years. And in verses 24 and 25, it gives us their response to this giant, much like maybe many of us. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. Now let's modernize that. As soon as they saw the giant, they ran to the local tavern. Verse 25, then they said this to David, "Have you seen the giant?" the men asked. "He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes." How many would like that to happen today? Today, I want to talk to you about facing your giants. And here's the, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Every generation faces giants. Every individual, every marriage, every family, every church, every nation faces giants during their lifetime. And the question we all need to ask and answer is this: will I run from my giants, or will I confront them? So here are some characteristics of giants. Number one, they are huge. They take up space and are massive. Deuteronomy 3 tells us, one had a bed that was 13 and a half feet long. So I went down into our bedroom and measured our king-size bed. It was 6.5 feet, almost 7 feet long. And then from the end of that bed to the net wall was another 6.5 feet. In other words, this giant's bed would not fit in my bedroom. This giant was huge. He was 2 times the size of our bed, and it wouldn't fit wall to wall. Giants are huge. Now, Goliath was just under 10 feet tall, which means his head just fit underneath a basketball hoop. Think about that. The San Antonio Spurs, they have a giant center from France that plays for them. He's 7.5 feet, and when he raises his arms straight up, he can touch the rim without jumping. That's amazing. And what's extremely amazing about this center is that he's very coordinated. Most big guys like that are not that coordinated. This guy dribbles like a guard, shoots like a guard. And the New York Knicks, though, who had a smaller size, figured out a way how to beat the San Antonio Spurs and became the NBA champions this year. I just want you to know, giants can be huge, but they can be defeated even today. Come on. Number two, they're bullies. They intimidate their enemy with loud words. Notice Goliath came out 2 times a day for 40 days and nights, crying out with a loud voice, defied the soldiers of Israel, while King Saul cowered in his tent. Every day and night he would cry, "Send me your champion, and if I die, we will serve you. And if I win, you will serve us." We need to remember, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy all of our lives by shouting accusations every morning and every night. And just like Israel woke up with Goliath's voice with intimidation and fear. Some of you are waking up every morning with the same voice and going to bed every night with that same voice. And that voice says, it's going to be an awful day. That pastor can't feed you anything. And you're right. But God can. That's right. I'm going to feed your family to the birds. It says your marriage is irreplaceable or irreparable. It says you will never amount to anything and you're a failure. It says you're no good, baby, you're no good. How many have ever heard that song? And some of you wake up every morning and go to bed every night with that same voice of defeat. Today, you may be facing a health problem, a financial problem, or you're in a marital crisis, or you're having an issue with one of your children or grandchildren, and it feels overwhelming. But I want you to know the enemy's voice can be overcome by the God we serve. And he knows how to deal with giants. Years ago, many years ago, my brother and I were about 11 and 12, 10 and 11, somewhere in there. And we were just under 5 feet tall. My brother Pinky and I were riding our bikes. Remember Stingrays, the banana seat, the high handlebars? We're down there and we're riding on these hills doing jumps and wheelies and having a great time. We had playing cards in our spokes. How many ever did that? Make your bike sound like a motorcycle, you know? And then out of the blue came this kid named Billy. He was 4 years older than us, and he was over 6 feet tall. And he told us, you can't ride on these hills. You can't have anything to do with these hills. Get your bikes and get out of here. And we said, why is that? He said, we own them. And we both said, no, you don't. They belong to the school. They're public property. Well, Billy got off his bike, threatened to beat us up. As we're sitting there on our bikes, Pinky leans over to me and whispers, we can take him. I started thinking. I said, Pinky, whispering back to him, Pinky, he's twice as big as us. Pinky said, we can do it. You hit him high, I'll hit him low. And we'll put him tangle him up in that barbed wire fence that he's standing next to. And I said, I don't know, Pinky. I have a little faith, but not that much faith. So, but he said, come on, trust me, we can do this. So we get off our bikes and we walk up to Billy the Bully, standing by a barbed wire fence. And as we get about 3 feet from him, Pinky says, now! And I ran at his chest, Pinky ran at his feet, and you wouldn't believe it, but Billy got tangled up in the barbed wire fence. And he's straddling that thing, and the barbed wire is poking into his legs. And then Pinky did something I couldn't believe he would ever do. He grabbed the barbed wire fence, and he went like this and started ramming up this guy's crotch. And he's going like this. And the guy, remember now, he's almost 16. He starts crying, let me go, let me go. Pinky said, can we ride our bikes here? And he goes, you can do anything you want. You can have it. So we let Billy go. He went crying home to his mama. We got on our Stingray bikes that day, looked at each other and said, that was awesome. We defeated our giant, let me tell you. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So I need to remember this. When you beat one giant, it gives you faith to beat the next one. Giants are huge. Giants are bullies. Number three, they have superior weapons. Every time Scripture tells us about a giant, the writer describes in detail about the giant's weapons. And it tells us in 1 Samuel 17 that Goliath had bronze leg armor, which meant all the way from his thighs down to his ankles, you couldn't touch him because he had this bronze wrapped around him. He had a bronze javelin. The shaft of his spear was as big as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spear that weighed 15 pounds. And then he had a massive sword. I brought a sword this morning just to give you a look at this thing. This sword is 3.5, maybe 3 feet, 8 inches tall. So it's a pretty good size sword for a normal everyday guy. But I want you to know, Goliath's sword was probably twice as long as this one. So He had a massive sword. He had an armor bearer that walked ahead of him carrying a shield of brass that weighed over 50 pounds. This guy had superior weapons. But I want you to know this. In the natural, it looks intimidating. But in the spirit, this is what God says in Isaiah 54:17. But in that day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. So no weapon, no voice will succeed against you as a child of the living God. And don't forget who God says you are, and don't forget who he says he is. Our Lord Jesus is in you. He's able to defeat any giant that you're facing this morning. When David defeated this giant, something happened in the soldiers of Israel. They began to be filled with faith, with an attitude that through my God, I can do anything. I can leap over a wall. They were just filled with faith. Your victories over your giants and this nation's giants are inspiring a new generation of giant slayers. All right? Now, let me give you some characteristics of giant slayers. Number one, their size or muscle mass are never mentioned, not once. It didn't matter how big they were. In fact, did you know that the average champion in the Olympics is 5'9" tall and 165 pounds? So when you think they have to be big, they don't. They just have to be trained and well-equipped to do what God called them to do. So size and muscle mass doesn't matter. The one on the inside of you is the giant slayer. David had supernatural help that came from the Lord. Now, you and I need to know this, that God never used one giant to help Israel fight against their enemies. Not one. There's not one giant in the scriptures that God raised up to lead his people. Now, I know Saul was head and shoulders above most of the Israelites, but today he should have been defeating Goliath. He was hiding in his tent. And here comes this teenage young man who hasn't reached his full physical potential yet, and yet he is no wimp, and we know that because already he's defeated a lion and he's defeated a bear. And we know that he goes out and faces Goliath and says to him, you come to me with a sword and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the God of Israel, whom you defy, and today I will and we will defeat you and feed your carcass to the birds of the air. I love his courage. I love his confidence because he knows who his God is. And by the way, he knew that Israel had defeated some giants because he knew the first five books of the Bible. It was never about the size of the giant killer. It was always about who he fought for. Number two, they speak in faith. They know the word of God. They use the word of God. They believe what it says. They memorize it, so it's always handy whenever they need it. They know what he says about himself, and they know what he says he can do through people who believe him. David's path, by the way, to kingship had to go through a giant, and so does many of ours. If you want to be known for being used by God, you're going to have to defeat some giants. No one would have ever heard about David had he not faced Goliath and killed him with his own sword. Now, maybe nobody will hear about you unless you face your giants and defeat them. Number three, they know how to praise and worship. Giant killers are loud in praise and worship to their God. They're not afraid of what other people think in public or in private. They worship at home. They worship in the shower. They worship in their car. They worship at the church. By the way, worshiping in your car, nobody knows you're worshiping. They might think you're on the phone now. We used to see people talking on the phone, and we thought they were talking to themselves, but now we're normal, so there you go. And they worship at church, the church they attend, because they're in love with God, the God they serve. And number four, they don't put their confidence in their own weapons. They know their weapons are spiritual, and they know their God can pull down strongholds, and they put their confidence in prayer and in the gifts of the Spirit. They believe that God will give them a specific word for a specific time when they need it. Giant slayers say, I will seek my God in prayer. I will listen to his voice and do what he says and then fight on his behalf, and he will give me the strength to win the battle and bring about a victory. Now, it's important to know that once you defeat a giant, once that's done, giants still keep on coming. They're not going to go away. When we face our giants, we need to understand it's your calling and commission to defeat every giant the enemy throws your way. We're called to invade hell, plunder it, and take as many souls to heaven as we possibly can before we leave this earth. We face our giants, defeat them, and then pass that faith and strategy on to our children. That's what we do. In the story of David and Goliath, we see David as the first individual giant killer in Israel, maybe ever, but at least in 350 years. And as a result, David is promoted by the Lord. He becomes a mighty warrior. He marries the king's daughter. He's betrayed and sought after to be killed by his own people. But later, becomes king. He becomes famous. He becomes rich. And he's also hated by the Philistines, their greatest enemy. But the greater miracle, I want you to hear this, wasn't that David killed a giant. It was that he inspired a generation that refused to bow to giants. Let me say that again. The greater miracle wasn't that David killed a giant. It was that he inspired a generation that refused to bow to giants. So we're called to produce generational giant slayers that are champions at facing their giants and defeating them. Look at this story in 2 Samuel 21. David's in his 50s now. He's not the great warrior that he was back in the teen years and in his 20s and 30s. But in his mind, he thinks he's still got it. How many of you here over 50? Raise your hand. Okay. How many think you still got it? I do. David the giant killer, as he's gotten older, he's got the heart of a lion still, but physically he can't do what his mind tells him he can do, and so his body is aged. Kind of reminds me, maybe some of you have heard this, there's a new song out for seniors that play pickleball, and here's some lyrics. They should be on the screen for you. Life is good when you are older. You've got nothing to do all day. So you grab that pickleball paddle, strap your knee brace on, and play. You stretch a little in the parking lot like you did when you had some had game. Then you pull a muscle tying your shoes. But in your head, you're still the same. Pickleball is all the rage. It kind of keeps me sane. But when there's nothing to do at 72, you kind of get into the pain. My doctor just shakes his head now when I hobble through his door. He says, please tell me this ain't pickleball. And I say, Doc, I'm afraid it is once more. I get MRIs, heating pads, and muscle creams. But every morning, there I am again, chasing championship dreams. The young folks laugh when they drive by, see us limping to the court, because they don't realize that retirement is a full contact sport. Now, there's more to it than that, but let me just say, that's the way David thinks, not as a pickleball player, but as a giant slayer. He's thinking, I still got game. I know I may be in my 50s, but I know in my mind I can still kill giants, but his body isn't what it used to be. In his head, he thinks he's still got the game, but he's not the same. So he's fighting this giant, and it tells us in verse 16 that Ishbi-Benob, if I'm saying it right, was a descendant of the giants. His bronze spearhead weighed more than 7 pounds, and he was armed with a new sword. He had cornered David and was about to kill him. Now, let me just say, as he's got this new sword, and it's probably twice as big as this one, he's thinking, you know what? I'm going to kill the guy who killed Goliath. I'm going to kill the greatest enemy of Israel, and then the young ladies are going to sing songs about me. They're going to make a statue of me. They're going to do all this sort of stuff. I'm going to be famous in all of the Philistines. But he's got a surprise coming. And I love this next part. It says, but Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to David's rescue. This guy's got David cornered, this big giant, and he's ready to ram his sword through him. But Abishai comes to his rescue, kills the giant, kills the Philistine. Then David's men declared, you're not going out to battle with us again. Why risk snuffing out the light of Israel? That's kind of what you guys have done to me. He's retired. Hey, I got to get a dig in every once in a while. Your pastor's on vacation, so I can kind of say what I want. You know? So David's saved by one of his younger men who came to his rescue, and then they tell David, you are not what you used to be, and we won't let the enemy snuff you out. So we need our hero. We need you to stay alive and teach us how to slay giants. And here's the reason why. Because more giants are coming, and a new generation of giant killers is being raised up. They realize we need to protect the ones who've gone before us. And let me just say this. You need to respect the elderly. They've gone before you. You wouldn't have what you have today if it wasn't the ones who paved the way back in the 70s when they were 80, 70, 80, and 90. I'm telling you, they know what they're doing, and they did it and paid a deep price just like you are. Then verse 18 says, after this, there was another battle against the Philistines at Gob, and they fought. Sibekai and from Husha, whatever, killed Saif. I don't know how to pronounce any of these Hebrew names. I'm making them up as I go. Okay, another descendant of the giants. So these young soldiers start thinking, if God enabled David to kill a giant, maybe he will help me kill one too. And then verse 19 says, during another battle at Gob, Elhanan, son of Yair from Bethlehem, killed the brother of Goliath of Gath. The handle of his spear was 3 to 4 inches thick as a weaver's beam. So as thick as a weaver's beam. So the handle was 3 to 4 inches thick and several feet long, and that's just the handle. Now we have three giant killers. Verse 20 tells us, in another battle, the giants keep coming. I want you to hear this. There's no relief from the giants. With the Philistines at Gath, they encountered a huge man with 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in all, who was also a descendant of the giants. So imagine this giant. Look at your hand right now. You got 5. Add another finger. Don't take off your shoes, but, you know, six toes on each foot. You can't. This guy he's marked by 666 all over the place. And then you can't even teach him the song, This Little Piggy Went to Market. You can't do it. It goes on, what do you do with the extra piggy? Okay. But it goes on to say, verse 21, but when he defied and taunted Israel, he was killed by Jonathan, the son of David's brother, Shimeah. In other words, this giant killer was David's nephew. These 4 Philistines were descendants of the giants of Gath, but David and his warriors killed them. So a new generation of giant slayers was raised up, and I believe God is telling us today, some of you may be getting older, but there are young people watching what you have conquered in your days of faith, and they're thinking, I want to be like him. I want to be like her. And if God can use them, I believe he can use me to conquer the giants that come my way in my lifetime, for my city, for my family, for my region, for my nation. So giants keep coming. They're mentioned all over the Old Testament, and they have different territories. I don't have time to go into it, but you can read about giants all over the place. Giant slayers came basically in Israel from the area of Bethlehem and the region of Bethlehem. David was a Bethlehemite, and Abishai was David's nephew, who was probably raised in that region. Elhanan was a Bethlehemite. Jonathan, who killed the giant with 6 fingers, was probably raised in that region as well. And just like natural giants occupied certain physical areas, we have certain spiritual hot spots where people believe God can use them to be spiritual giant slayers. Now, I believe in my old age, what I want is to see another generation of giant slayers. I want to see you guys raised up as powerful as the former generations, but more powerful. Generations like my parents. My dad drove a Sunday school bus for 20 years, picking up kids in Central Park so that they could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And many of them are serving God today. People like Chuck and Diane Dudry, who've served God for 40 plus years, wrote a book called Hell on Church Street about the spiritual giants he slayed after he became a Christian. Battle maidens like Sandy Wixon, like my wife, who pray and break strongholds that have held people captive for years and being set free today in this church in the Grace Harbor area. And I pray that the young people of this house will say, we're ready to face our giants like you have and still are, and we want to follow God like you have. Now, I believe in these last days, I hope and pray he will say to his demons, stay away from this place. Don't go to this place, because these people, you're going to get slayed as a demon if you come to that place, because these people go after God with all their hearts. Stay away from them or you'll get slain. Now, we want to produce these giant slayers in the days ahead. But let me just say this. Keep dreaming with God. Keep dreaming for your marriage. Keep dreaming for your children. Keep dreaming for your grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Keep dreaming for Grace Harbor. And keep dreaming for our nation that God placed you in, all right? There's an atmosphere of faith that we produce. Let's clear my throat. Haven't you missed that? I do see that Pastor Jimmy has to clear his every once in a while. Now, I want you to know that these people came out of that Bethlehem region, and there's one more giant slayer that came out of there. In Micah 2, it tells us this. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, are only a small village from all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf. So someone special is going to be born in that small village of Bethlehem. And I want you to know, God can bring something big out of something small. And I say that because everywhere Lois and I go, they ask where we're from. And we say from Aberdeen, Washington. You know what they say? Where's that? And then we ask, have you been to Seabrook, Ocean Shores, Westport? Oh, yeah. Well, then you've been to Aberdeen, because you have to go through there to get to there. And so they look surprised. And I just want you to know, God loves to raise up giant slayers out of small places. And so, because out of the house of Jesse in the small town of Bethlehem came the ultimate giant slayer, and his name is Jesus. And he was crucified on the place of the skull and cut the head off of our enemy. He defeated the giant of sin and death, and the giant of addiction, depression, divorce, division, and defeat. Death and hell and the grave were conquered by our giant slayer, and he lives inside of you if you've confessed him as your Lord and Savior. Now, as we close this morning, I don't know if this is on your notes or not, but there are some spiritual giants we're called to defeat. You need to defeat these in our lifetime. Here's number one, the giant of spiritual apathy, the giant of division and hatred, the giant of fear, the giant of deception, which means you and I need to know the truth of God's word, get it from our mind to our hearts, memorize it, because I want you to know there is a giant called socialism, communism, Islam, whatever you want, make no bones about it. It's after our nation to take our nation away from us, and it's a spirit, it's not people. And so you need to know it's an ideology that's been out for this nation for a long time, because this nation was founded on this word. All right, enough of that one now. The giant of materialism and comfort. I mean, no, that's a big one. the giant of addiction and infirmities, the giant of broken families, divorce, and immorality, the giant of the loss of civic responsibility, the giant of injustice, the giant of hopelessness, the giant of unbelief, the giant of death and defeat. We serve a great giant slayer, and his name is Jesus, and he's still here today, just like he was with the disciples in the early church, and we have to fight the good fight of faith and call upon his name continually and serve him with all of our hearts. So let's stand. Now, as you're standing this morning, you need to remember this. You serve a God who's never lost a battle. Your God has he ever lost a war? No. Has he ever lost a fight? No. Has he ever lost a confrontation? No. Has he ever been caught off guard by a giant? No. Has he ever been forced to retreat? No. Jesus is undefeated, and this undefeated giant slayer lives inside of you. So today, I'm commissioning all of you to become the giant slayers God's called you to be and win whatever giants are facing you, with every head bowed, every eye closed. If I could have some prayer people come on up right now. Some of you are facing giants, and you have been for a long time. Some of you are facing giants of infirmities. Some of you are facing giants where your marriage is on the rocks. Some of you are facing financial crisis. Whatever it might be, God wants to deliver you today. Don't be afraid to get prayer. But to become a giant slayer and kill those giants, some of you don't know the giant killer. His name is Jesus. And I want to give you an opportunity to come to know Jesus. So, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in just a moment. You got to be bold. You got to be willing to say, I'm either coming back to the Lord, or it's time for me to give my life to Christ. If that's you, raise your hand right now. Say, that's me. Anyone here that needs Jesus in their life? Okay, that goes for you online as well. And we're going to pray this prayer together. And if you're giving your life to the Lord online, would you just write your name down and say, that was me. I gave my life to Jesus. Say this with me. Father God, thank you for loving me so much that you sent your son, Jesus, to die in my place. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of all my sins, all my mistakes, and all my failures. Come into my life. Be my Savior, my Lord, my boss, and my King. And by your grace and by your power, I will serve you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. All right. Let's give the Lord a big hand for what he's doing this morning. Let's sing a song. Let's get some prayer.